On December 12, 2011, on the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Monsignor Essef underwent hip replacement surgery. All went well. And he wishes to express his heartfelt thanks and deep appreciation to all of you for the prayers and support he has received. His desire is to reach out to all of you in a very special way. And because of the great technology of the internet, we now offer you a series of reflections, insights, and just thoughts through daily conversations we'll be having with Monsignor Essef. Today, Sunday, December 18th, 2011, we begin our conversation with Monsignor Essef as he discusses an encounter with a woman he had met several years before, and now she was waiting for him at the entrance of the rehabilitation center located in Pennsylvania.
She said, "You prayed over me. We weren't able to have a baby. And as you laid hands on me, you told me we would have a baby and that we would have a baby in a year after I prayed over you." And she said, "I did. I actually had a baby." And she said, "I've been wanting to bring that baby to see you. And you keep being changed from one place to another, and I haven't been able to see you. And when I knew you were coming here, I want to bring that baby." And I thought, and she did. She actually brought the baby to see me. And his name is Joseph, and he's 2 years old. Two and a half. And she said, he loves the Blessed Mother. He just loves the Blessed Mother. And when I was in the hospital, someone had brought me a small image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. They were a couple that I was supposed to bless on the 11th of December, on their anniversary of marriage. And it really wasn't their actual anniversary of marriage, but they came to the hospital to see me on the Feast of Our Lady, and they brought me Our Lady's image right to the hospital. And it was that I knew as soon as she was telling me that this little baby loves the Blessed Mother, I said, "I know where that image should go." And so I said, "You bring that baby to see me. I have an image for him." And she brought the baby, young Joseph, to see me. And I said, "I have something for you." And he and I just met for the first time. And I was able to give him the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So Our Lady has been so much a part of my being here, and she brought me to the hospital on the Feast of Our Lady. She brought me this image of herself on that very day, right at the very day of my I got up from the surgery, and this couple was there from Mexico, and they gave me the image of Our Lady. And as I came into this rehab, I was operated on Monday, and on Wednesday I got here. This woman met me, and I was able to give. She was looking for me to see me about telling me about her baby.
Well, Monsignor, it's just so incredible. I mean, Our Lady's presence and just the nurturing care that she's given is really extraordinary.
When I knew I was going to be operated on the Feast of Our Lady, Chris, I just knew the image, the message of Guadalupe came to me. "Don't you know I'm your mother? What mm-hmm. else do you need?" So I thought, "Oh my goodness, Mary, you're going to take care of me." So the operation was marvelous, just successful. And this rehab has just been a perfect delight. And now for me to be able to hook up with you, and I've only, I was not even operated on it a week, and mm-hmm. we're recording, and I'm well on the road. I had Mass here just now before I talked to you.
Mm. Today's readings are very special,
yes,
as well, aren't they?
Yes. And in fact, one of the, I really believe that the Feast of Christmas, which is so magnificent, of the Incarnation, I really love the Passion, Suffering, and Death, but the Incarnation. And my homily was all on how the angels are so connected with this feast. How, you see, the angels were never able to propagate themselves. Mm-hmm. And Mary and Joseph were bringing forth a child, a new baby, the incarnation. Mary is bringing this child into our family that had been so destroyed by the evil spirit, the serpent, and how we have been under that whole siege of Satan. How now Mary, you know, I really believe that we haven't really taught the incarnation in its, all its power, how she really crushed the head of Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and she shall crush your head. And that image of the Immaculate Conception when she, and it was on December the 8th, that I was preparing to come here, December the 8th, and then on the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, when she so crushed the head of Satan at Guadalupe, that the incarnation is so magnificent. What did she have in her hands? She was pregnant. Mary had a baby, and it was the baby. It was Jesus become flesh in our own flesh that began our salvation. That story has not really totally been told. I'm so longing to tell that story. I would like to tell that story the next few days with you through our interviews. It really takes telling. That the children will know, that the little children can know how important it is that when they look at the baby in the manger, what an important little baby that is. Jesus, mm-hmm. become flesh, God who became man.
It gets so hard, Monsignor, especially in these days leading up to Christmas. We want to rest with that image, but we get so busy, and we get so caught up in, what can I say, maybe self-reliance, that we are going to just keep pushing to this culmination. And that's, boy, that image of the baby, and even of our Blessed Mother, and even you, of what you just experienced, there's all that vulnerability. That we can't be self-reliant, can we?
Oh, I get up in the morning and I can't do a thing for myself, Chris. I'm in bed. I have to ring the buzzer to get out of bed. I can't go to the bathroom. You know, and when you think of the baby, neither could Jesus without Mary. He couldn't go to the bathroom. I think we kind of overlook that. And the things around that I have now to do with regard to elimination, it's so important, but I can't do them without help. I need to have someone come to my bed, and I have to get me out of bed, and I have to get up, and it's really it's very, well, humiliating. It's humbling. That I need help to take care of myself with regard to my human needs, and that he did too. The other thing is our food. In a rehabilitation place, you really need and depend on others to take care of you, to feed you. All of those of you who are mothers in preparing, all of you who have been mothers, who know that, just think of the day your baby was born. You had to feed your baby. You had to clothe and change your baby's diapers. All of the needs that your baby had. Total dependence. Well, God became a baby. When I look at the host, I think that's a lot of humility, that God depends on us to pick him up in our hands on Christmas to receive him. But mm-hmm. look at the infant in the crib and the manger. So you will learn from God, dependence on God. That's what God wanted to teach us. Dependence. God wants me, John Esseff, Monsignor John Esseff, 83, not grown up, no, a baby, a little child, to depend on me, turn to me. As soon as you wake up, I want to take care of you. I want to take care of all your needs. And so if you're a housewife, if you're a husband, if you're a teenager, if you're a 10-year-old, whatever you are, God wants to take care of you. And so listen to your heart as you awaken each day in these days before Christmas. God is right there. He's saying to you, can I help you? Is it with your homework as you prepare these final days for Christmas? Or a college student as you're going about to be going home for your vacation? Let me take care of you. Are you traveling? Let me help you with your connections. Are you getting ready for your family's feast? Are you shopping? Let me help you. Look to God. Depend on God. He really is anxious and wants to help you. All of the things that we worry about, and there may be those of you who are really much more needy and out in the cold. I have no idea. I had a cousin of mine, she's now a street lady, and she came in to see me. She's mentally challenged right now, mentally disturbed, and she's really in need. Let me help you. Probably the most important thing in the world for every human being is to turn to God, who's right there, wanting to help us. How we just kind of ignore and go by in our self-reliance to want to do what we have to do. And in these days, it's been so magnificent for me here at the rehab facility to say, God, I really can't do this. You have to help me. And he said, oh, I am so happy. And every single need, he's so joyful to take care of. And he does. And I'm rejoicing in it. It's been an exciting journey here.
Why is it so hard, Monsignor, for us to let go? Why do we feel we need to control?
I think we've been taught self-reliance from the age of 3 and 4 and 5. You know, we felt we couldn't depend on our dad to do it, on our mother to do it. We wanted to do it ourselves. It was, I have to do it. And I especially think of you men especially. As soon as you're born a little boy, you can do it. There's no reason why you can't do it. And so you're just, be a man. Suck it up. Do it. And oh, it's not true. You're a child. Each of us is a child. Jesus was born as a child. The Son of God, who held the universe, who created the universe, depended on a woman to feed him at her breast. And I think we've been so alienated, and as we just have been so educated from so early on, and it's a hard pattern. Our whole society tells us from first grade on, you must succeed, you must not fail, you can do it. There's no reason why you can't, and so we've been educated just away from our original dependence on God.
Are we afraid that if we can't do it, or if somehow if we fail, that we won't be loved, that we won't be respected, so we cannot fail?
Yeah.
And yet that's a lie, isn't it?
Sure it is. I'm not a man. I'm not a woman. I'm not a good mother. You know, I'm a failure. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. And it is a lie. We all kind of live the lie. And so many of us have like an onion skin, layer after layer. And when you get real down, and we think we're depending, and then we really aren't, we still want to be in control.
What's the remedy then, Monsignor?
Surrender and Mary. I find one of the greatest gifts at this season, Advent, puts Mary very much into our picture. Why does Mary seem so dominant in all of the nativity scenes where Mary is holding the baby? Why? Mary's not in control. In fact, Mary is totally dependent. When she was first told that she was to be the mother of God, what were her words? Be it done to me according to thy word. And then she relied on God, and God always provided for her. She did everything God asked her to do, and she totally and completely relied on God. She relied on God when she was pregnant with the baby. She didn't go running around telling Joseph about, oh, God did this, I didn't, this is, you know. She didn't worry. Mm-hmm. She let the angel tell Joseph. She relied on God. She completely depended on God in every step. And so I would say, as an Advent story, why don't you just really pick up the rosary? The rosary is a powerful tool at this time of the year. And as you do your shopping, as you do your preparing, sending out your cards, take some time and ask the Blessed Virgin to help prepare you. Who is it that you should send these cards to? What is there that you need for your Christmas dinner? What is there that you need for your guests? In every single step of this Christmas preparation, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. And then this beautiful prayer, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Any further thoughts, Monsignor?
Yes, just one more. I'm particularly thinking of one little child at this time. She's so beautiful, and she is a little one. She's really just a little child, and who needs our prayers. A couple that I know and love very much, when I went into surgery, this mother wanted to go in under the knife at the same time. She was going to have a cesarean, and I was going to have my hip replacement. And she had a very deep and wonderful faith, especially in Padre Pio. And she had a cesarean section. And she was expecting a whole and completely happy little baby. And she gave birth to a Down syndrome. And this little girl is so beautiful. When I heard that this baby was given to this mother, and then when I heard about it, my heart just leapt with joy. You know, this is the season of birth. This is the season when we rejoice at birth. And Bridget gave birth to a Down syndrome little girl. And I don't feel that I want to announce her name right now, but she is so beautiful. She was like considered a normal delivery, didn't have all the heart problems that a Down syndrome baby has, but she's definitely Down syndrome. And when she was given to her mother and her father, I thought, they are the most magnificent couple that will take care of her. And all I could think of was what Mother Teresa said about Down syndrome babies. Mm-hmm. Professors of love. Mm-hmm. Her brother, who's about 10, said, oh, I'll give her instruction. And I thought, oh, his name is Rory. I said, oh, no, Rory. She is going to teach you. She's a professor of love. God has sent her into this wonderful home. She has a brother and a sister, and now she's been sent to this lovely couple. Here is a new birth, and here is a new life. And that happened the very same day on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe that God sent to this couple, a beautiful baby. Maybe I'll be more prepared to tell you details if they give me permission tomorrow.
It's the season of paradox, isn't it?
So true.
I mean, isn't it? I mean, this is a time where, you know, for this child to be born into this family, the world, unfortunately, would say this is a suffering.
What a joy. I was so filled. When I called, she said, the father said, oh, you're giving me such courage. I said, oh, I want you to know that you have been blessed. God has blessed your home. Yes, yes. God has blessed his home. Yeah.
And that's even today's reading when the angel comes to Mary, that it should have been disturbing. It should have been fearful. Yeah. And yet the great paradox for Mary is that her soul magnified the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Mm. Monsignor, we just pray for your continued and speedy recovery. And I'm sure those are wondering, you know, are you suffering? Is there anything they can do for you?
Well, I just am so filled with joy. My pain has been minimal. My suffering has been almost nil. And it's really been just a magnificent journey. Today, I especially prayed, please, Lord, give me a new awareness of your infinite love for me. And he has been revealing that to me. Lord, I want a new awareness of your infinite love for me. And then I pray for everyone who hears our words and who sees this video.
Beautiful. Thank you, Monsignor Essef.
God bless you.
Special blessing for us all?
Yes. God, our Father, I hold up to you the whole world, the entire world, because at this particular season and time, you have sent your Son. So much did you love the whole world. The whole world did you love. Every single person in it. That's what I pray for as we prepare for Christmas. That every person in the world will come to know Jesus, your Son, whom you sent from heaven to be their Savior. May every person in the world who hears this be blessed, touched, through Mary's Immaculate Heart, by Jesus, her Son, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.